Dumpster Divas, welcome to another episode of Dumpster Dive with me, Tom Hamlet, and my sister,
Kix Hamlet. We are here to dive into the reality TV that made us, well, the garbage we are.
I know, that's right. And expect like a mix of throwback recaps as well as chats about what we are still watching today.
Tom, are you ready to get into it?
Let's go. Hi.
Hi.
What's up?
You know what, Tom? You can leave.
Wait, who are you quoting?
Meredith Marks and her Disney princess, evil Disney princess, villain era.
I can't. The way my taste in Housewives transform. When the show first aired, I was like mesmerized by her, and now I can't stand her.
Her breastplates, remember?
Yes, never forget the breastplates. Also, like the baths. I can't stand the baths.
Big storyline this season.
But you know who hasn't shifted, changed, adjusted who they are at all and stays winning is Lisa Barlow.
Yeah,
she hasn't changed. She's changed nothing about herself.
Nothing. Which is perfect.
I know.
That's what I want.
Agreed. Both physically and like inside. You know, like she hasn't work done. She has not transformed that way. Because she's always looked great.
Mm-hmm.
And she is equally as chaotic as she was like episode one.
Yeah. I think the reason why is because I don't know what the reason is. The reason is that she's the housewife of my dreams and I love her.
I love her so much. She, I was watching both SLC and OC today. I was like, Emily and Lisa have quickly become like top 10 housewives for me.
Wow.
I just think they're good TV and they're hilarious.
Okay. I haven't caught up on OC for like 2 weeks, so I have to catch up. The last time I watched it was Shannon.
Well, Shannon's
crying because everybody was canceling.
The only thing you missed on this week was that Shannon is coming out with a line of at-home colonics with Dr. Moon. And I watched the never-before scene because that's the only one they have on Peacock for OC. Yeah. They don't have the original version, which I actually prefer because they don't. I have not seen the intro to the show once.
Yeah.
Which I hear is chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the taglines are a mess, but all you miss is they showed in the never before scene the actual contraption that you would put on your toilet. And now this is coming from me, a gay man who has frequently douched my own asshole just to be ready for anal sex. This is long.
You're saying that there was no consultations done with the gay community for this
No.
one. He would have benefited.
And the fact that like Shannon is going to climb atop that is...
Oh, she's taking it. Wow.
She's taking a lot. I'm like, if you can take that, you can take some. Oh, also, you can take some.
I need some hot.
Like, is she getting ready for anal sex? Like, why does she want her rectum that clean?
So, I don't know if you remember, but even like the first or second season of Shannon's time with us, she had that scene where she had David Bedore put an enema up her booty hole.
Yes, they flash back to it in this episode.
Listen, I think Shannon is somebody who is, this is like maybe a little too deep and dark, but I think Shannon has really bad, we know this, Shannon has really bad body image stuff. Mm-hmm. And she's constantly thinking that she wants to be smaller and skinnier. So I think this is just like another step in her like bulimia, to be honest. Like this is just.
But what's interesting is
colorectal bulimia.
I know, but that's not what that does. Like that doesn't make you shit. All the purpose of it is just to clean out your insides. It doesn't make you shit.
Yeah, but I think the idea that you're cleaning out your insides also makes her feel like maybe it's going to empty out some of the bloating in her tummy.
Right. But like it's all, what it's literally doing is cleaning the like
canal,
the canal. So things can go in there.
Yeah. Well,
in an actual colon, like a, well, a colonoscopy, they're going in, making sure that getting rid of like anything that like could cause, you know, cancer. Yeah, sure. But a colonic is just like literally just water. And something I learned from a lot, I follow like bottoming like Instagram accounts that there's like bottoming influencers now, which there's this guy called Bottoms Digest where he does a really like approachable, like easy to digest, just like what to eat, when you want to have sex, what like how you should be cleaning yourself, all this stuff. And the biggest thing I've seen across the board is that you should never put like so much water. If you flood like your insides like that with so much water, which is what she's doing, you just like are going to have water like coming out of you constantly because your body is not used to having like that much in you. And also you're not supposed to do it like more than once, like every other week or something like that. And I'm worried she's doing it like daily.
Yeah. Do you remember you and I have talked about how you watched My Weird Addiction, right? Oh, My Strange Addiction.
Yeah, I watched the spinoff series last night. My Strange Addiction Still Addicted.
So there was in the original seasons, there was one couple that would do coffee. They were addicted to coffee enemas. Do you remember them? And they would lay down in their bathrooms.
Well, coffee enemas, that is scary. I mean, you're doing cocaine. Because the coffee is just shooting into your bloodstream. That is more of a diuretic, though, because that's getting like laxatives in the bloodstream to make you go crazy.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, I'm really excited for this collab that we're doing today.
Yes. Yeah. So this is a little reality is dive dumpster. The dumpster is reality. I don't know.
Is a dumpster.
That's honestly what it is. When the inevitable happens where you and I combine forces and just create a podcast universe, that'll be what it's called.
Reality is a dumpster. It's true. So good.
Yeah. So that's what this is. So, and we're going to dive into the best episode of television ever.
I feel like they're really leaning into the camp of Salt Lake City.
They are full camp and everyone knows it except for Heather.
Yes, correct.
She doesn't get camp, unfortunately. Mm-mm.
She thinks she does.
Yes. No.
She has no idea.
No, and she, you know, I continue to get sad that we thought that she was like a gifted comedian because she isn't.
She's not. She's cringe, like as the young people would say.
She gives me the ick. I think that's what the young people say, actually. Not cringe. I think cringe is what we said.
Oh, whoops. I'm old.
Are you ready to get into it?
Yeah, let's get into it. The episode starts with Bermuda, May 2023. Okay, I have to ask you, why do you think Heather is freaking the fuck out?
So, I'm not sure. Do you think, because there's all of these, I wonder, I have two thoughts. Mm-hmm. One, is this related to like the Angie with the long Greek last name? What's her name, last name?
Oh, last night I was thinking about how it's so weird that I know her last name. Kasanopoulos? I just made that up.
Yeah, something like that.
Angie Casanova, I think.
No, there's an Opolis or something at the end. Oh, or Opola. God. Or
Petsopoulos.
I wish I had a fun name like that.
What are you talking about? Hamlet is great.
Yeah. You know when you have something but you just don't want it, like, but you want what everyone else has? Like, Shamim is a great last name.
Oh, thank you.
It is.
I feel that way about my breasts.
What if you like that? Or you want to give them away and take someone else's?
I hate them. Yeah. Get away from me with this, Apollo.
Embrace the bubby. No, I think that she could be either talking about this money laundering thing that's maybe coming up. Or I wonder if there's something like Mormon church related with like Whitney and her family.
Ooh.
Like someone outed someone in her family as being naughty in the Mormon. I don't know. With Heather, it goes back to Mormonism for me. So that was kind of my first thought was, is it something Mormon?
Yeah.
Because I think that's a good point. It can't be Jen related.
Yeah, I don't think so. Or I think here's where I think it could be Jen related. I think that New Girl
Sorry, my
Monica,
dog
who
is
I
sneezing. Are you okay,
who, your dog, I didn't eat him.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah.
Does he? Yeah.
He's okay.
Is he okay?
He's fine. He's fine.
Okay. All right. Well, he's fine. You're fine, Rethi.
Yeah.
That's a dog I love from afar.
Yes.
Yeah. I love most dogs from afar.
Yeah. You just aren't a dog. It's not like you are anti-dog. You're just like, it's not for me, but like, I can objectively tell that that's a cute animal.
Yeah. That's how we feel about a lot of people's babies. I love your
baby.
That's
how I feel about babies pretty much across the board.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I like your kids because they're in the fun age to me.
Yeah.
Like, we're like, we could like spend the day together and have fun. But
so
babies, no.
Mm-mm.
You're like single tier. You're like so much fun.
How many people were scared? Me too. I was really, really scared.
That was literally you when the kids got back to school yesterday or whenever that was.
Anyway, you're right about Heather and it always being linked to Mormonism. I also think the other thing could be that this new girl, Monica, mm-hmm. who I can't wait to get into.
Love her.
Monica is coming in with all of the secrets that Jen Shah has shared about all these people. So
sure.
I think maybe
oh, that's probably it.
It could be related to that. How could you do this to us? Heather was saying. But also Heather is a known floppista. Like she's a floppinator. She's the worst. She's just so bad. She's so like, I hate any lead up to Heather because I'm like, this is going to be dumb.
Right. It could truly be about like the local Jersey Mike's like outed her order to the public or something.
Somebody outed that she's on Monjaro. Like who cares?
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Right.
That's probably it.
Okay. What is your Jersey Mike's order? Do you get Jersey Mike's in Jersey?
I don't like Jersey Mike's.
Do you like Jimmy John's?
I don't. I'm not a submarine girly.
Okay, it's hard for me to hear you genuinely call it a submarine.
A hoagie.
Wow, really? I could have a sandwich every, like my mental health like hinges on having a sandwich every day.
Oh, wow. I don't like a cold sandwich.
Wow, why?
Okay, however, I will say this, that recently I started getting this thing from my local bagel place, mm-hmm. and it is an Asiago bagel toasted with chicken salad and some hot sauce. And it is so good. But the bagel has to be warm, right? Like, I think I need a little bit of warmth, just like slightly. But I don't like a cold cut. I'm not a deli meat girl.
Wow.
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 Oh, boy. Wait, so I think you're right, though. I think you're right,
yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry that I couldn't give you my Jersey Mike's order.
It's okay. My Jimmy John's order is just like turkey, cheese, but then like tons of mayo and tons of hot peppers.
Ooh, that does sound good, actually.
Their hot peppers are the best thing that's ever happened to me.
I would love to come to New York and get just Jersey Mike's with you or Jimmy John's or whatever.
Well, they don't have Jimmy John's here. It's like a thing. They just started opening them, but I don't really trust it here in the city.
Yeah, I agree. Also, in the city, there's so many like delis that you could just like walk into.
Sure, I just go to my deli to get a sandwich.
Yeah. Do you put chips inside of your sandwich?
No, I like that. Like, it's good, but I don't like. That's not a go-to for me.
Okay.
Like, if a sandwich comes that way, I'll eat it, but I'd rather the chips on the side.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well. Anyway, moving on to this stupid show, mm-hmm. we got to talk about this intro. Electric.
It's giving Mob Wives. It literally is exactly what the Mob Wives. If you've never watched Mob Wives, pause. Go watch, just Google like season one Mob Wives intro. The whole intro is them just walking past each other on a bridge.
In furs.
It's literally the same. The only thing that they don't have is like Proverbs 15:10 like written above them.
Yeah. John 3:16 or whatever that is. Whatever they put at the bottom of the Forever 21 shopping bags. Do
what
you
is
know that?
John? That's the one scripture I know, which I hate. John.
No, I don't know it, but I do know that it's like a real,
for
like,
God
Jesus
so loved
fish
the
one.
World that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will have everlasting life, something like that. I grew up in the church, okay?
Okay, wow. That was amazing.
Wow.
That was Tim and Marion Hamlet from Flower Mound, Texas, just now.
Wow.
That is impressive. Look at you.
So impressive. It was
scripture slut.
I'm such a little scripture slut.
The behavior that you exhibited was whore-like. The whore jumped out and then it jumped back in.
I must stop. I haven't used the soundboard in a minute and I'm going crazy right now. Because you enjoy it. Kix kind of doesn't like it. Oh, what? Slutatious. I can get slutatious on here, but keep going.
that scripture was slutatious. I don't know 316, but I know that was also like a thing with WWF. Another thing that I never watched, but like I just know about from having boys around me.
WWF?
Yeah.
Wait, what does that have to do with the Bible?
So there was one of the guys, one of the wrestler dudes, that their thing was like 316 was like their number.
Oh, really?
It was like related to scripture, I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Okay, anyway.
Okay, anyways, keep going.
Then we get this Mobwise intro is silly and so good. And I just like the scripture reading. It's like so ridiculous. I loved it. I'm like, they're really creative.
This is the craziest show on television.
It is. And I love it. Like, I need it to be this level of crazy from here on out. Agreed. I need this level of ridiculousness. I need you to like put clown music on serious scenes. Like, this is what I want. And we got like a preview basically of all the things to expect. And it did end with Meredith yelling, "You can leave," or whatever. Looking absolutely, in your words, Cuckoo Banunu.
I think that also is not at Lisa.
There's what?
I don't think that screaming is at Lisa either.
I think it's at Whitney.
Well, I say this like I read it somewhere. I just literally watched Watch What Happens Live. But Lisa alluded to the fact that Heather and Meredith get into a lot of the season.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, those two losers. Go at it.
And my one critique of the show always is I need someone to like someone, which we struggled not having any authentic friendships. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as long as they can hang out, that's all I ask.
Yeah. It's just so funny because, like, this episode, we'll get into it. They basically do, like, a hangout to be like, all right, we got to pretend to like each other now.
That's totally like, what the last scene is. It's all that.
That's totally. Okay. Anyway, then we go back 4 months ago with the Sundance queen, our queen, Lisa Barlow, throwing parties and being chauffeured around by John Barlow. Have we talked about John Barlow? Are you into John Barlow?
Yeah, I find him deeply attractive.
He really gets me when he has his backwards cap on.
I'll take him anyway.
Anytime a man has a backwards cap on, I'm like, oh, what's this? What's happening?
There's something just like delightfully soft-spoken about him.
Yeah, you know? He seems like he's the wife guy. That's what he is.
You're right.
Big wife guy. Mm-hmm. That one. He just drives her around everywhere. She talks. He starts talking. Then she interrupts him with a text message. It's amazing. I love them.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. They tell us basically what's going on with the Barlows. And the big thing is that Jack said fudge college and he decided to go on a mission. What are your thoughts about missions as a scripture slut yourself?
So I had a lot of Mormon friends in college in high school that went on missions. And it's a little dark. It's kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
The weirdness is like you spend in there. So I don't know what's her son's name again?
Jack.
I don't know what Jack's journey is going to be. The people that I know that went on missions, they were normal high school kids, and instead of going to college, they apply to go on a mission. They go on the mission for 2 years, come back, and then go to college after the mission is over.
Mm-hmm.
And find a wife in college, get married, have 1,000 kids. Like, this is like the trajectory of most Mormon, practicing Mormon men's lives. Every single I would say Kix and I probably know about like 5 or 6 guys that we were friends with that went on missions. They all come back full, like, eyes glazed over, like, just God warrior robots. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's tough. Like, they lose all sense of humor.
Yeah.
And they just are kind of these, like, soulless people walking around. And honestly, Lisa couldn't have put it better when she said, he's going to go away and put everyone she was like, he's going to go away and take care of everyone but himself.
Yes.
And I'm like, I know, Lisa, people like, the point of it is not to not take care of yourself. She can turn anything to like bad. Like,
I know,
she's,
I love her.
Viewing this thing as a bad thing, which for me, it's tough, but if he feels this is like what he's chosen to do, then he should go do it.
Yeah. I have a lot of problem with mission work, because it, to me, as like a non-Christian, and I feel this way, by the way, if anybody did mission work in any type of religion, but there is the, like the whole like proselytizing and like going into like impoverished countries and establishing your mm-hmm. religion and trying to get people to convert. And it's another form of like colonization, in my opinion. I think that that's very problematic. And a lot of times these guys will go over on these missions and then they'll marry girls over there in like sort of an attempt to further the religion. And mm-hmm. I think that that is very problematic to me. And I know it's not specific to Mormonism. I think it's across the board in any religion. A lot of religions do it. I just find it problematic. You know, you were describing this thing about like they go away for 2 years and they come back, they go to college, they find a wife, they have a million kids. You literally just described one of my friends. Mm-hmm. One of my best friends from high school, we're like a group of six girls, and one of our friends is Mormon, and she went to BYU, as one does. And at 19, she got married to a guy who had gone away for mission for mm-hmm. 2 years, came back, found her. They prayed on it. He was like her prayer. He was like a friend of a prayer advisor. I don't know, whatever that means. Whatever that means.
I don't have that one on here. Oh, yes, I do.
I know.
Okay. Whatever that means.
So she came back. He came back. He got married to her very quickly. It was very quick. Obviously, we weren't invited to like the big wedding because you're not allowed to be in there if you're not Mormon and married. But she had like a reception in New Jersey, whatever. Fast forward, she has five kids. And during the time when they were initially married and stuff, I remember I may have told you this. One time he sent us like an email, and it was like it was when Obama was still president. It was when Bush was president. So this is many years ago. Mm-hmm. And he sent us an email. It was like a blast of like a change.org like petition or something. And it was like, the Democrats are trying to pass gay marriage. Sign this if you're against it. And he sent it to like all of my friends, like all of his wife's friends who are from New Jersey. And we were like, not us.
No, girl.
No. We're like, that's weird. But positive here on the story is that now, many years later, they actually have a trans child. And I don't believe that they're part of the church anymore or like actively involved in the church. I think they live in Texas now. And like,
wow.
Their eldest child is trans and they're very supportive of them. And they send out these like holiday cards every year. And like the year prior, they used their child's birth gender and birth name. And the year following, they use their child's chosen gender, I guess, and chosen name. And they never even had to explain it in the card. They were like, this is Sam. Like, okay.
We love people who evolve.
We love that. So all this to say that mission stuff gives me the ick, mm-hmm. but I don't like, you know, completely write people off when they do that, even if I think it's problematic. But Lisa crying, I love when she cries and her voice changes. I love it.
It's so good. She gets down here. She's like,
Princess, the character from SNL. She turns into like, what's it called? The Michael Myers character.
Oh, what's his name? I can't remember.
When she gets verklempt.
Yes, yes.
She turns into it.
I don't know if you caught this, but John Barlow says, well, Lisa, you have to think to yourself, where were you when you were 17? And Lisa goes very quickly under her breath. And if you don't know, if you don't live in New York, you probably didn't catch it. But she goes, I was in college. I was in New York City. I was at Limelight.
At Limelight, yes.
Guys, I just need to break this down for you. Limelight is this huge, like, old school, like, cathedral on 6th Ave that I don't know when it stopped being a church, probably a long ass time ago, but it, like, in the 80s, like, I think in the 70s through, like, early 2000s, it was, like, the gay club to be at, like, in the city. Like, all these different rooms. I mean, I'm sure people were having sex there. Like all mm-hmm. the DJs would go there. It was like the place you would go out after Studio 54 was a wrap.
Yeah.
And to think of like 22-year-old Mormon adjacent Lisa Barlow at Limelight. Oh, she wasn't Mormon then, actually.
I don't think she was. Yeah.
At Limelight is a sight to behold. And now, sadly, it is just a gym. But I wish we all wish it was a club still.
Hmm. So, but yeah, like I loved it. I caught that too. And like, John's trying to make like a nice point. She's like, I was partying.
Yeah, I love her. And he's trying to be like, and he's gonna like help people, which he's not. But
yeah, we'll also, see what he's doing.
Also, here's my thing with Mormonism, like. Religion in itself is a made up thing. Like mm-hmm. whether you believe in it or not, someone made it up.
Sure.
Like yeah. like even if you believe, I'm not coming for your beliefs in it, but someone did make it up.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jesus made it up. Like
yeah.
Like someone was like, here's some thoughts I'm going to put down on paper, right?
Sure.
So I just don't. I struggle with the idea of like imprinting on other people and other cultures that your mm-hmm. culture that was made up. Your religion that was made up not 100 years ago, or no, it's been 100 years, but like was made up in like a very short time frame from today is the religion that you're trying to push on people who have customs and traditions that have lasted for thousands of years is just like so bizarre to me.
Yes, correct. This is like a big issue I have with anybody preaching their religion to another group of people.
Right.
Like yeah, there's like a supremacy aspect there. There's mm-hmm. like a superiority and inferiority thing. There's like a white savior complex there. I don't like any of it. No thanks. But good luck to you, Jack. He has a lot of money and I feel like he's just saying he's going to go on a mission, but he might be partying.
I don't know. He seems very like holier than thou. I feel like the younger kid's going to be a fun party animal.
You're right. Heather has a new house and Meredith Marks visits her. And Heather basically is very aware that she's in her flop era because she's like, keeps talking about how she knows she's had a bad time because people are coming for her book, which nobody read. So the church is coming for her book. People are coming for her relationship with Jen and also the black eye.
I know no one who's read that book. Do you know anyone?
No.
Yeah. I think people just bought it and put it on their shelf, which honestly, that's all you can ask for when you write a book, but that people just buy it. But also, I know you're not a drinker really, but I thought it was fully diabolical that they were drinking Belvedere and Pellegrino at like 2 p.m. because Pellegrino's not flavored.
Uh-huh.
And Belvedere is like really nice vodka and they're just drinking like in like tumblers, like ice and just like plain soda water and vodka. I'm like, yikes.
And it's probably like 11 a.m.
It looked like, yeah, maybe just afternoon at the latest.
Mm.
Hard to see.
That is troubling.
Right?
That's a lot. Yeah. They basically discuss Whitney. What did you think about Meredith's impression of Whitney Rose?
You know, I think we have two gifted impressionists on Bravo, and that is Kyle Richards and Jennifer Aiden, but the rest can go. I did not like it.
No. Meredith is upset that Whitney said that she wouldn't take a bath with anybody else because it grosses her out. And Meredith is really mad. She is almost as mad as Jen Shah showing her little baby son her vagina. I've never seen anybody really die on a hill so ridiculous before.
No, she's pressed. But I don't know about you, but to me, a bath is not like something you do to clean. Yeah. It's like something you do to relax, maybe.
Yeah, sure.
But like,
yeah.
I'll probably shower.
Yeah.
Like, and especially if I'm taking a bath with someone, like I'm gonna, and this is so, I understand that this is wasteful, but like that's not gonna be like the only time I bathe that day. Like to me it just isn't bathing.
Yeah. And you know, Whitney's saying that she likes to get in a bathtub to be clean explains a lot about Whitney. She seems like one of those people that like grew up going to the pool all summer and like never showered. You know,
ocean or pool is not bathing.
No, she grew up dipping in lakes and being like, oh, I took a shower today. She's doing a Tom Schwartz before his wedding.
Yeah, just doing a slut bath in a creek.
Exactly. I did crack up when Meredith said, how much DNA is in her bathtub? She invites 85 people into regularly. I was like, you know what? You got me, Meredith. That was cute.
The DNA of it all doesn't make any sense because DNA is just everywhere.
It's everywhere. Like
if you touch something, there's DNA on. Well, I don't know if you caught this, but Whitney said, I don't take bathtub. Like her grasp on the English language is so fractured.
So fractured. It just cracks me up. But she's another one.
She's like, I don't take bathtubs. And I was like, what?
She's a malfunctioning robot and I love it. She's like, you know, like how they're like, oh, AI is going to take over art. And then people like generate AI and it's like, you know, women, beautiful women with like 8 fingers. Mm-hmm. That's like Whitney as a person. I feel like she's like a chat GPT broken, you know, the coding isn't right. And I love it.
And that's kind of savage.
But I love it.
No, I love Meredith's- her.
Yes, in a way where I'm like, I would never be friends with you in real life, but I think that you're so entertaining. Meredith says, you don't go after my marriage. You don't go after my bathtub.
It's crazy. She's on one, Meredith.
She just comes in angry at somebody every season.
She's hard. She's hard for me. Although, you know what? I gotta give props to her. Her work has settled.
It has.
And she looks good.
She does. She looks more and more like her daughter.
It was a little, it needs time to like really set in. Yeah. Like 6 months to a year. And she had a lot of work done between season 2 and 3. And last season she was looking a little different.
Yes. I agree. That's what I'm afraid of. I know. Botox girl
Well, Botox is different. That's different.
No, my Botox girl is starting to talk to me about filler,
sure,
which is very upsetting to me. As a person with chubby cheeks, I just thought that these were going to make me look youthful for the rest of my life. But apparently what ends up happening when you have chubby cheeks is that eventually they detach from like your cheekbones because of loss of collagen. Don't make that face.
Detach?
They start to like lose sort of like their...
No, I get it.
They start to lose their plumpness to your face. And they start to go down because the collagen is keeping it all up here, mm-hmm. up by your eyes. And then they start to go down. And once they start to go down, that's when you get jowls. And then you get these ridiculous laugh lines.
No, we can't have jowls.
We can't have jowls. I have a wonderful jawline and it's going because of these fucking jowls. So my filler girl was like, what you do is you get facials, you do a bunch of stuff. You do micro needling and then you do some filler up the top to like tack it all in.
So
I'm afraid.
I know quite a few people that have filler here and I didn't like you don't notice it. It's literally just a little bit that pulls back. Like it pulls all of this back because of the tension in it, but it's not like anything you can actually see.
Oh God, that's what I want.
You do it. Just do a little bit.
I know, but you're paying for like an entire vial. So then you're like, all right, put it in my lips.
No, never do lip filler. Everyone, don't do it. It's irreversible. I know some people that have lip filler and it's just something that's noticeable.
I know. You go very quickly from looking like, oh, that's nice to like quack, quack. Immediately quack, quack.
Yes. It's a very slippery slope. So.
Yeah. Meredith is a flop, but one of the things that I'll be forever grateful to her about is that she's brought her friend, Mary Cosby.
Thank God. I love her so much.
Now, okay, let's just state the facts here. Mary Cosby, probably a very problematic person, but does great as a friend of. Mm-hmm. Like, exactly what we need as a friend of. She should not be a main cast member. I don't want to know about Mary's personal life.
No. No, I don't.
No. Honestly, sometimes I feel like most housewives should just be treated like friends of.
Well, then we don't, who's housewives then?
No, but like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like sometimes housewives share personal stuff that's going on with them. I'm like, I don't really care about the personal stuff that's going on with you. I just care about how you're interacting with the people in this group. And I think that
Sure.
that's like how we should only watch these shows. Like, I don't really care about all the details of your personal life.
Right.
Whitney Rose, I'm talking to you. I don't care that Justin took his wedding ring off or whatever. I don't care. I just care about like how you don't understand English.
How she bathtubs?
Bathtubs. Okay, Mary's back. Mary says to Meredith, she wants to catch up, but she says this, which was so confusing. She says, "I'm in dinosaur mode. That's how much I need to catch up." What does that mean?
I got it. She's just saying like I'm prehistoric. I'm so behind the times.
Oh my God.
I got it.
Mary, you're so witty.
But I love her. I mean, she looks great too.
Yes.
The fashions were fashioning. And I also loved when she was like talking about her son and she was like, "Yeah, he's with this girl. They say they're married, but I can't get to the bottom of it."
Mary?
I know, and the producer's like, "Just ask him." She's like, "We haven't had time." And she's like, "Doesn't he live with you?" She's like, "Yeah, we just haven't had time."
I love it. I love it. Oh, she's great. Then Angie,
Wait. We
Lisa,
gotta talk about
yes.
her spicy
Yeah, go
booty
back to
hole,
Mary.
though.
Yeah, sorry,
Spicy
sorry.
booty hole.
Huh?
Her spicy booty hole.
Her spicy booty hole. She loves to talk about tooting and pooping.
She does. For such a little lady. She's such like a little dainty lady, and she's always talking about how things are leaving her.
I mean, we spent the first 7 minutes of this podcast talking about things
I
flushing out of our
forgot about
bodies.
that, honestly, at this point.
Oh,
But the salad was that spicy that she couldn't get it out. And then also, the other shocking part of that, which got the lunch that got overshadowed, was Meredith ordered a like bowl of butter and just a tail of lobster and a white wine. There's no condiments, like nothing. She was eating a lobster tail, dipping it in butter, and drinking white wine.
I think that's low carb.
It's definitely, she's a keto girl.
She's a kid.
And you know those keto girls, they don't smell right.
No, as an old keto girl myself.
You start to emit things that your body needed to
Yeah.
keep inside.
You get the meat sweats.
Yep.
Yeah. But yeah, and also Mary's like, this is a spicy salad. It's a goat cheese and like fig salad or something. I can't imagine anything being spicy in that.
She's got a sensitive little tummy.
Is it the arugula? Probably.
Yeah, because arugula can be like peppery.
Yeah. Yeah. I love her. Angie, Lisa, and the new girl Monica meet for lunch. Now let's just get into Monica. Monica is casually the informant.
A lot to unpack with her. She is the person that we've been looking for this whole time.
Yeah.
And part of me, I was like, well, why wasn't she on the show before? But I actually appreciate her being on it now because it gives us a nice little transition out of Jen. But also, she knows so much about these ladies because Jen is a certifiable criminal who like
Yeah.
plays just mind games with everyone. And so we get all this intel from her about Jen that we would never have gotten. It's like much more interesting than having Jen on the show.
Absolutely. Remember that girl last year with like the rogue from X-Men hair?
No, whose friend was she?
She was a friend of. She was
Oh, Dana. I
Dana,
liked
right?
Dana, yeah.
Dana said that she knew the informant of Jen's case.
I'm sure she knew
And
Monica. I'm sure.
it was Monica for sure. Yeah.
The city is so little.
Lisa Barlow has a weird previous recollection of Monica. She says, "Oh, she looked so different. She was blonde and she had fair skin." I was like, "Oh."
I was like, what does this mean? I was trying to
Yeah.
like
What does that
unravel
mean?
what does that mean, you know? Yeah, because That photo they showed of Monica, she kind of looked the same, just with blonde hair to me.
Yeah. But Lisa seems like a type of person that, like, doesn't look at people's facial features. She just kind of, like, looks at their general, like, what, like, their outside. You know what I mean?
Yes,
she's got too much going on.
Yes, I agree. Vita Tequila is on the mind.
Yeah, Vita doesn't stop for anybody, okay? So she's got to keep going.
And Monica has 4 children, the oldest being 18 years old or something.
17, yeah.
That
and she's 37,
crazy.
So she's had kids since she was, like, 21, yeah.
Could not be me.
No.
No.
I stopped at 31. I said, that's enough. No, thank you.
When were you pregnant with your first then?
28.
That's a great age.
Perfect age.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wrap that shit up by 31. I said, no more.
Nope.
With Monica, I'm getting some Jennifer Aiden feelings. I was like, she could be annoying or she could be amazing.
I'm getting Jennifer Aiden as well without the Jen Aiden, like, delusion. And I don't know. Jen Aiden bothers me sometimes because she's so oblivious to, like, how she comes across. In my mind, Monica was a little more like, I'm crazy, get ready.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
You're right.
She may not be affiliated with Jen Shah anymore, but need us not forget she was for quite a long time.
Yeah.
So that takes a certain type of person.
Yeah. And I do think that when she was like, oh, Jen asked me if you want to get rich, you just need to do this thing. So then I called my friend. I'm like, but did you try for a little bit to make that money? And then you didn't make that money. And then you called a friend. And then, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
I don't think that you were so on the straight and narrow, Monica.
No, definitely not. And also, who calls your friend the Secret Service member just after your other friend tells you about a business venture? Like, that seems so shady, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Agreed. Monica also shares that she has had crossed many paths with Lisa Barlow because Lisa Barlow used to call Jen Shah and she would talk for so long that Jen would just get sick and tired of it and hand over the phone to Monica, and then Monica would just continue on the conversation with Lisa. And this is intercut with Lisa actually talking a lot at the lunch. And one of the things that Lisa says that cracked me up, she said, I'm obsessed with anything maritime.
I can not. Like, someone with a beach house needs to, like, put that, frame it. I'm obsessed with anything maritime right now.
That is so specific.
Maritime culture is very interesting to me because it attracts a lot of the same types of people.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's a lawless space in a way that's appealing to those that love this country. If you know what I'm getting
John
at.
John Jansen,
yeah.
Yeah.
that really are obsessed with their rights not being taken away, so they're going to take to the water.
Yeah.
Where I write the rules.
We've seen them take to the water with their flags.
Yeah, and sink boats.
I love her. Any other thoughts about this little lunch?
No, I would love some sushi nachos and a Vita tequila drink. That sounds like a nice little afternoon.
Yes.
A sushi nachos sounds so good.
Oh. Whitney and Heather are going to host a brunch, because it's their way of starting off with a clean slate, which, again, as we mentioned, this is just a way for them to all get together and have, like, we're starting filming, let's get our shit together and, like, try to play nice.
Mm-hmm.
And try to move forward scene, or like a day. And so they host this little brunch and Mary comes, and then we get Lisa Barlow and Mary Cosby meeting each other, and Lisa does a reading of her texts from Mary. I think I wrote them down. Hold on. I'm going to try to find them.
Wait, while you're looking for that, just quickly, one thing we didn't speak about was Angie's insane look at that lunch with those, with the fur and then the pink outfit and then the pink sunglasses that engulf her face. And in the trailer for the season, she seems to be in those sunglasses, like, quite often. Like, she looks like she's about to ride motocross.
Angie is, like, I feel for Angie only because like she really thinks that she's like got it all to be like a good housewife. Mm-hmm. But like, I feel like she always falls just a little bit short. Like even this scene, like she's this episode, she was completely overshadowed by Monica. Like Angie is a housewife this season. She's got a snowflake.
Right.
But we don't care. We're more excited about Monica.
I know. But I kind of, sometimes you need the flop, the girls who think they're giving, you know?
Yeah.
That aren't.
What is Angie's last name? I keep wanting to say Katsopoulos because that's Jesse Katsopoulos, but I don't think that that's right.
Who's Jesse Katsopoulos?
You know who Jesse Katsopoulos is, right?
Who is that?
Full House.
Oh, duh.
John Stamos. Angie Katsanavis. See?
Katsanavis. There we go.
Noopolis.
Noopolis in sight.
Okay.
That was me all generalizing. Right. So I'm sorry to the Greek peoples.
Lisa reads her text from Mary to her. They go, Lisa, you're the biggest idiot. You're a black widow. You are the biggest liar in Utah. Wow.
Wow.
You're an idiot is so great to me too. It's so base. I'm like obsessed with it.
You'll kill people with your nasty tequila. You remind me of a witch.
Possibly.
You evil person. You're not interesting. You're a horrible human being.
It's so funny. And Lisa is like crying laughing reading it, which is it makes me love her so much more.
I just love it.
It's
you know
so
the
good.
Same people that are putting I'm obsessed with anything maritime at their beach house. I want them to put this in a frame.
Oh my god. You're on just the first line, the you're an idiot.
You're the biggest idiot.
You're the biggest idiot, excuse me.
Yeah, excuse me. You're excused.
Thank you.
I also love that Mary is coming in and just asking people about how they're going to feel now that Jenna's gone. And I think she made a really good observation of like the group will change now that Jenna's not here because they're not going to be scared of some lady who's like obviously a criminal.
She's so scary.
She's terrifying.
How many people were scared? Me too. I was really, really scared.
Yeah. Mary straight up asked Jen, I mean, straight up asked Heather about Jen. She's like, how do you feel now that you're with, now that Heather, Jen's not here anymore? And she also asked Meredith, like, so have you kept in touch with Jen? Meredith is like, she's in prison. What do you want me to do about it?
That was an insane question for production to ask. Like, no, like, what do you mean? She's in prison for stealing money for the next 8-9 years or whatever, for stealing money from like poor old helpless old people. Like, no, I'm not calling her to like tell her about what's happening on the show.
Yeah, but I think it's also because like Meredith was so gung-ho about Jen even up to the reunion last
that
year,
was
you
weird
know?
The that I forgot about that, how she like
yeah
was team Jen until the very end, like flew to New York with Heather.
So strange Yeah. Yeah, and when Mary talks to Heather about it, Heather first tries to deny. She's like, I think people projected that on me, that like I was really close to Jen. No, bitch, you're obsessed with her.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary reads her really well. Like she really sees Heather for who she is. And again, I'm loving Mary Cosby.
Love her. Breath of fresh.
Fresh of breath.
Fresh of breath.
In the words of Whitney Rose, that's something she would say.
That is.
Everybody asks if anybody's, Heather also keeps dropping that she wrote a book. She's like, I wrote a book. I'm like, shut up, Heather. No one's read her book.
No one's read it. No one cares. There's nothing about it that reveals about why Jen slogged you in the eye. Like no yeah. one gives a shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Lisa brings Angie and Monica to the party. And did you catch what Angie says?
No.
When
no,
she greets Heather, she said, I would say thanks for the invite, but I didn't get one.
Oh, well, that was great. But then also, I'm like, Heather, this is like your first. Why? Like, you're filming a show. Invite the whole gang, you know?
Yeah, just crack me up. It was so funny. Whitney and Meredith have some words. They do a, can I talk to you for a second? And Meredith accuses Whitney of being the person behind the rumors about Meredith doing Special K?
I think what they were doing was shrooms, not...
Oh.
I think they were doing shrooms, not weed.
Oh.
Because shrooms is legal now most places, but it's a little more looked down upon than weed is because people, like, I think of it as, like, a hard drug, quote-unquote. But, like, I've been in a lot of social situations these days where people do shrooms instead of edibles and, like, drink.
It's like, how does one even do ketamine?
Well, I've also been around a lot of people that do ketamine, but ketamine is different. So I have a friend that does K sometimes, like when they want to like go dance or like in want to be in kind of a euphoric space.
Sure.
And they have it in a like nasal spray form.
Oh.
You just do okay. like one little, and like it's mixed with like saline or something. Like it's not, they're not like snorting like a line of cocaine. It's like a liquid form of it, and then you're in like a space for, it doesn't last very long. It's like a like 20-30 minute journey you go on.
Oh, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Should I be doing Special K?
Yeah, you can try it.
I should. I'm going to Amsterdam in a couple of weeks, months.
Be careful. And
I'm
I just want to also say mushrooms there. Oh, do mushrooms there, that'll be fun.
Yeah, I'm sorry, you cut out. What were you saying?
Oh, I was just saying be careful.
Of the shrooms in Amsterdam?
No, of just like grabbing some ketamine in Europe.
Oh, no. I'm not doing ketamine in Europe. Okay. Let's not.
Okay, that would be my only hangout. Yeah. But people also, ketamine is used. There's like a lot of people that do ketamine therapy. It's monitored at a hospital, but it's very helpful with people suffering like from really insane, really intense levels of anxiety and depression.
Oh, okay.
And it's like transformative for people.
Yeah. It's like the way people do MDMA for like a couples therapy.
Wait, what?
That's right. You heard correctly. No, like, so couples a lot of times will, some couples counselors will microdose MDMA with their patients, and it helps patients actually feel really positive about their spouses. Like, it helps your walls come down and find the good in your spouse. And then they get some medication also to come down from it, because otherwise they will immediately hate their spouse if you come down from MDMA without like other vitamins to help you come down from it.
Got it.
Yeah.
You know, can we talk Big Pharma for a second?
Absolutely.
I just... You know, and I'm not like a she, like shoo-shoo anti-vax person. So I just want to preface that with this. But I do think it's so interesting that about like 500 years later, like white people are starting to realize the medicinal positive effects of like what we claim to be drugs, quote unquote, like before. Like, for instance, on like more natural things like shrooms or like weed even. And it just it bothers me, confuses me. And then, but instead giving us like actual toxins sometimes that like are like opioids that are crafted to harm us.
Yeah. Well, it's all related to capitalism and what makes money. So.
Wow.
By the way, I work for Big Pharma.
I know. Well, that was our Big Pharma corner. So
back that was to a the segment app. Called "Let Me Shit on My Job."
Well, I work in fitness, which has a whole other plethora of issues. So don't worry.
Okay, Meredith and Whitney talk, and Meredith again goes in on this tub shit. She says a dig on my marriage and a dig on my bathtub. And Whitney really comes at Meredith in that confessional. Some gay wrote some good lines for her about that vacation rental bit.
Yeah, it wasn't as funny. Like, Lisa Barlow could have delivered that better, I think. But
I know. Well, it's Whitney.
I know. She's
broken ChatGPT.
She's bathtubs.
Whitney tries to smooth it over, and she asks Meredith, if we're going to smooth it over, are you actually going to forgive me, or are you going to keep holding a grudge? And Meredith claims that she does not hold a grudge.
That is very dumb of her to say.
Yeah.
The show also hinges on her holding grudges against everyone here.
Correct. Also, I don't know if you saw, I don't follow her on Twitter, but she was coming up a lot. And I think what's his name? Brooks. Brooks is officially just, he has her account. Because she says she posted pictures of herself and she was like, she said something like, I don't know if something, but you know I ate.
I was gonna say, I literally was about to say, was it like, I'm feeding the children with this, mama, house down.
It was something like that. Yeah. It was
children
something
fed,
about eating
check.
Or...
like feeding. That's like, she's always like feeding the children.
Oh, I'll say it. Okay.
Okay.
Also, this brings full circle to our conversation in the top of this hour. The caption is, it really is a lot to digest. I mean, I ate this look.
Although part of me thinks that it was her though, because it's a little off. Like the sentence doesn't land right. It's not as funny or as like in as it could be.
Yeah, of course. Because it's like, Meredith.
Maybe like having trouble digesting. I figured because I ate. I don't know, guys. We're too old to figure out what the kids are saying, okay?
Did you take off La Roach from your soundboard?
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
You ate that.
Meredith did not.
Eat that.
No. They start to do snowball fights. And I just love Mary Cosby because she says, I'm not doing that.
I love her so much. She's like, I don't want to be a part. I'm not going to be a part of things that I don't want to be a part of.
Mm-mm. Which is perfect.
Maybe all again. Have that level of self-awareness.
Yes. At this big age, you can't be asking me to do a fucking snowball fight.
Right. No.
And I love that she's on the side. She's like, are they having fun? Are they laughing? Or are they crying? I don't know. I don't know.
Honestly,
either, Mary.
I don't know either, babe.
Yeah.
I used to have on the soundboard Nicki Minaj. Where did that go? Of her going, no.
No.
Let me see if I have it. No. No, I don't know. I'm not going to find it in time, but I just, that made me think of that. No.
Tom, what are we going to call this episode?
We had a good name right at the top. And I'm forgetting it. Oh, well, there's the reality is a dumpster. There's bathtubs. There's it could also just be a long thing that's like, we ate and served the children, boots down. Eating is what we do in Salt Lake City. Ate.
Ick. I was like around a lot of 20-some-year-olds in Texas.
Yeah.
And they all talk that way.
Yeah, and they also all do the put the hand in front of their face laugh now. It's like a TikTok thing. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm like, take your hand away from your face. Let me see you smile. I made a funny fucking joke, okay?
Give me what I'm looking for.
That's why I'm here, okay?
I said the joke so I could see your mouth open and cackle, you piece of shit.
Show it to me, you little twerp.
Does Brian cackle?
Yes.
He does. He's a cackler.
Yeah. He's a cackler. Am I a cackler? Sometimes I'm back and forth. I laugh in a lot of different ways, I feel like.
My husband is not a cackler.
Does he just giggle on the corner?
Yeah. He's like a silent, he giggles. He giggles and he like loses his breath. But he's just like a quiet, polite, beautiful short king who like never cackles. But like tears will be rolling down his eyes while he's giggling. It's so cute.
Oh, he's
but
so
also
cute.
Offensive to me as like a person who really feeds off of external validation that he never cackles. I'm like, I'm hilarious.
I know that is hot. That is tough when someone's not giving you the laughter you deserve.
Like, open your mouth, please.
Please. Ha ha. Funny. Wait, I know we're not talking about OC, but one other thing about OC that I just can't wait for you to see is that Shannon. Mm-hmm. We really get a full reaction to Shannon learning that Heather Dubrow is $55 million richer.
Oh, I love it.
And just seeing her like disintegrate.
Oh, I love it.
And melt away, knowing that she has $55 million more dollars than her.
Oh, God. I love it.
Because remember when she did the tour of her house and was just like walking aimlessly through it? like, yes, sat, like she was just like dead eyes staring at the towel warmer.
Yes, it was amazing. And then every few minutes, Gina would be like, "Did you have this in your house?"
Gina's like, "No, but we did have hospital grade oxygen pumped in."
We did have a chandelier where the lever was broken and David never fixed it.
Yeah.
Wait. We did have crystals put in the foundation of the house.
Oh, sure. We had that. You can cut this out of your version of the episode, but I do just have to announce some business things to the
dive people. I'm not going to cut it out. Everybody can know your business things.
Oh, my God. Great. So, yeah. So next week we are diving into season one, episode one of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Ooh. With Mariah Smith from Smith Sisters Live on Radio Andy. It's a great ep. We already recorded it. The episode also of Kardashians is literally 20 minutes long. So you can really get it in quick, like while you're like, you can even listen to it like a podcast and then listen to our recap of it.
Oh my God. I've never watched a single episode of the Kardashians.
It's okay. It's not great. The early seasons is, the early stuff is fun to watch back because you're knowing where we are now. I mean, everyone has a different face. Let's get that off the table.
Mm-hmm.
But Kris is producing her little patootie off from the jump. Like the first scene of the first episode, she literally says, like, you know, when my daughter filmed the sex tape, as a mom, I was mad. But as her manager, I knew we had to get to work.
Well, that lady has not stopped working a day since then. Cause did you see Kylie and Timothy?
Yeah. That's a weird couple.
Do you believe that couple though?
Well, not really, but one of my favorite comedians, Michelle Collins, I was listening to her show today and she was like, he looks like the kid at the bar mitzvah making out with like one of like the like dancers they hired to be there.
Well, somebody tweeted that one couple in the Six Flags line. Like, you know who they are.
Why is Six Flags so sexual? I will never know. I never know. Like, what is it about like roller coasters that make people want to just like jizz all over themselves?
Yeah. It's so weird. There's always somebody just like
humping in line.
Dry humping in the line to like whatever Viper, whatever the fuck those were. Hercules.
Not Viper. I guess the names are a little sexual now that you're reading them off.
You want to ride Hercules with me?
Yeah. The roller coaster was called like Big Dick Daddy. And I was like really horny. I don't know why.
So strange. I have a boner now. I don't understand.
Well, this was fun.
What's that?
I had a great time. Did you have a good time?
Oh my God. I had the best time. This is great. I'm so happy. I'm so glad that immediately when I texted you, you were like, yes, I will talk to you about this only if you talk to me about it.
Yes, I know. I know. I needed to get the episode logged. And then I was like, we should just do this. So we work that way. Our brains are
connected. I have nothing else going on, really. I'm just recording these fucking episodes and
working for Big Pharma.
working for Big Pharma. Poisoning America one pill at a time.
Opioids is what I do.
Okay, I'm going to need to cut that out. I'm going to bleep that whole section out.
Okay, well, bye. That's another ep in the books. Make sure to follow me at Tom Hamlet on Instagram. And you can follow Kix
at Kix Hamlet, that's spelled C-I-X. And make sure to follow the pod on IG at Dumpster Dive Pod. And on TikTok at Two Dumpster Divas.
Rate, review, and subscribe to us and all the pods you love on your favorite app of choice. And we will see y'all soon.
Bye.